lesson this morning. As most of you know, we've been going through the Bible one book at a time, giving you an overview, kind of doing some type of Bible survey. And we've been going from Genesis all the way up to 2 Samuel. And the one thing I want to impress upon your heart, the one thing I want to help you with is how the Bible works all together. We showed you how it went from Genesis and taught how God created the heaven and the earth, and how we know the reason why we are and where we come from and where we're going, all from those first chapter, 12 chapters in the book of Genesis. And then we continued on to learn about this nation of Israel. And then from that nation of Israel, we learned that Moses came out of that nation of Israel, and how God chose Moses to lead his people through Deuteronomy and Numbers. And then we also saw how all those different things we've learned. Once again, we used to do reviews, but if we go reviews over every book, we'll be spending a whole big bunch of time. And then we've gone all the way up now to 2 Samuel, where we've learned about David in the last book. 1 Samuel, we learned how God changed a little bit, how God did not change his holiness, but he adapted to the way that sinful men were, and he changed his plans. He is always willing to work with us and patience with us. And we learned about that last week, how, you know, it was not God's plan for them to sin in the garden. God knew it was going to happen, but he adapted to that. It was not God's plan for them to have a king, but God adapted to that. God wanted a theocracy, and we learned all about that in Judges, and we learned about all those different things. Here in 2 Samuel, we're going to look in this morning at mostly chapter 22 and 23. And the story of 2 Samuel is pretty much a story of David's life while he was king. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and 23, what we have here is a song of David. If you look what it says up here, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song." Remember, he's called in chapter 23 the sweet psalmist of Israel. And he is writing this song in chapter 22 and 23, giving a look back over his life. This is him nearing the end of his life. He's been reigning. I believe it's 40 years that he's been reigning. And here he's giving this song at the end of his life, "and had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies." He's talking about how he was at rest at this moment in time. "And out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence." Now, how are we going to put this in perspective? He said, "Pastor, if it's just about David and his life, what is it we really can learn?" Well, there's a lot of things we can learn. But when we come into the perspective of looking at the Bible as a whole, I want you to see why God uses and blesses David. Now, this is at the end of the book. This is at the end of his life. Now, this is not at the beginning, because in the book of 2 Samuel, it's filled with David having great successes, but also is filled with David having great failures. And you say, how in the world can God bless someone who is a sinner like that? And how in the world can God bless someone who did such wicked things? And this is an important question to answer, and it's an important thing. I think one of the reasons why God put this book here is for us to see and understand how God works and deals with people. And those are some of the internal values we're going to look at today. I guess a brief overview. It says the book is a summary of David's life as king. 2 Samuel 23, verse 1. You have these verses that also give him a little bit more about the song. "Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his words were in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God." At the end of his life, he's looked over all these things that happened. And he's saying, if you want to rule over men, you must be just as God is just. And so we see here a little overview here in 2 Samuel. We see David's heart and his attitude towards God in this. We also see how God responds to David's attitude. And 2 Samuel 22, verses 26 and 27 says, "With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. And with the upright, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself unsavory." Now here's what it's saying is God is willing to bless David. He's willing to bless us if we're willing to have the right attitude. And what 2 Samuel is about is David's response to God. Now, we're going to see here that David messes up. Most of us know what happened to David. David sinned when he looked upon Bathsheba. And then David sinned once again when he continued to look. And he had that extramarital affair. And then he killed Uriah. And then he did all these different things. But when God punished and chastised David, we see his response. And this is the key. And this is the reason why God chooses to use David, is because of his attitude. His heart and his attitude toward God was good. Now, you go back and you read through 2 Samuel. I encourage you, once again, read the books as we're getting up to it. But you go back and read it with this thought. You don't see anywhere in there where David is upset. You don't see anywhere in there where David is angry with God because he is being punished for his sin. You don't see him anywhere shaking his fist up to God and saying, God, this just isn't fair, and walking away from God. And the difference between David and most of us is when God punishes us, we get angry with him. We can't handle it. But that's why God chose to use David. Before we get any farther with David, I want you to understand David's life. Remember, he was a shepherd. I know we learn about 1 Samuel on Wednesday night, so this is pretty much a review. But I want to understand how God prepared David for the kingdom. He went through a lot of things to begin with. But you see, he was a shepherd. We see him fighting Goliath. We see him how God took him and put him in the king's palace. We saw how he was fighting the king's battle, and then when he was running from the king. That's when he was a child, and that's when he was a young adult. But here when we come to 2 Samuel, all that's over. Saul dies, he gets anointed king of Israel. We see a man who is prepared to enter into the kingdom and prepared to succeed because of what God has taught him. And here in 2 Samuel 22, verse 1, we see that this is a song. And he says, David spoke unto the Lord the words of this song. You know, you think about it, and I mentioned this before. Why didn't he put this song at the beginning of the book? Well, all those good things David was saying up there. The Lord delivered him out of the hands of the enemy. But when you talk about how he was rock, his deliverance. If you would have put that at the beginning of the book and then read about how David committed adultery, how David killed Uriah, and how David counted the people, and he did these horrendous things, you would say, well, that stuff doesn't matter. But at the end of the book, David looks after being punished by God. And don't get this wrong. God does not condone sin. I'm not condoning David's sin. I'm not saying, hey, sin's okay. Just go ahead. No, but it shows how he responds to God's punishment. David had many victories and many failures. But at the end of his life, we see how he understands God. Once again, look at verses 26 and 27. This is his view. He says, with the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. And with the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself unsavory. So here he is at the end of his life. He sees all these things happen to him. And these principles are in David's heart. You know, we talk to too many people. If you look around the room, you look around the church service, you see people who are no longer here. People who don't come. And you can point the finger at the pastor. You can point the finger at blaming someone else. But it's always involving something that's gone on in their lives. And usually involves a chastening of the Lord. They get fed up and they get upset with God and they just don't want to hear the truth and they choose to leave. And as God chases them, they don't have the right attitude. And I want you to understand here that David had many struggles. And we talked about how great a guy he was, but he had many struggles with his flesh and with his ego. We see them all in 2 Samuel. When you look in an overview here, David gets victory after victory after victory. But we also see David has failure after failure too. David, one of the punishments David had, he lost his family for the most part. And you say, oh man, that's horrible about David. Now, it's the same thing about us. Aren't you glad God doesn't tell our story out in public? I mean, you think about that. David here, yes, he was lifted up on the highlights, and we don't mind if people know about those, but pretty much everything is revealed here about David. It's all left open there for us. Why would God do that about his heroes? It's because I think in this book, and you can read the book and you can disagree with me, you think there's a different purpose, but in this book, I think it shows how David reacts to the punishing of God and chastising of God. And you see him on his face before God, begging and pleading God for forgiveness, recognizing him as God and saying, okay, Lord, I know what I did was wrong. And you don't see him complaining about the punishment. And we're going to look at that today, and hopefully we can understand and take this. And this is what made David different. David always saw his sin and humbled himself. He was broken and bowed himself before the Lord. He had perfect confidence in God's mercy. He had, and when God disciplined him for sin, he always submitted himself to the chastisement of God. His main concern of his life was to conform to the perfect will of God. When corrected, he did not get angry and run and hide. And that's what so often we do. When God is bringing something in our lives, we say, why would God allow this? Why doesn't God help me? Why doesn't God change this? And you know, but oftentimes, we need to humble ourselves and see ourselves that there's something wicked in our life. Now, does everything that happens bad in our life is because we're sinners? No. We've learned about that before. But I can be honest with you, most of the times it has something to do with the fact that we are not willing to submit ourselves to God. And there is many times, because of sin, God brings things in our lives to try to bring us back into a right relationship. Is that because God is mean and angry and wants to throw lightning bolts down on us? No, he loves you so much and he wants to have a right relationship with you, and he's not going to change. He's not going to compromise. He's not going to give on his sin. So instead, what he does is he sends things in your life to try to get you to wake up, calls you to take notice, calls you to say, you can't live like this anymore. You've got to change. And that's what he wants to do. And that's what he does with David. David, he points out the sin to David. He shows David the sin. But does that mean David doesn't have the punishment? Yes, David still gets punished for his sin. Oh, he gets terrible punishments for his sin. And we're going to look at some of those this morning. But he bare the judgment of sin. He lost his family and his children for the most part. You go back in the story there, David's kids were not the greatest. Now, some turned out okay. But you think about the child that him and Bathsheba from the adulterous affair, what happened to him? That child died. And that was a punishment that Nathan had told him about. Nathaniel had said. And here, Absalom rebels. And what does he try to do? He tries to take over his own kingdom. Amnon, what does he do? He rapes his half-sister. All these things, all these problems are things that happen in the life of David because of his sin. And we see here, he still had to pay a price. But at the end of his life, what does he say in verse number 26 and 27? He said, with the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. Now, if God disciplines you and chastens you and sends things in your heart and life, most of us aren't going to turn around and say, oh, God is merciful. Most of us would be like, this is just not fair. This is not the way it's supposed to be. I can't believe this happened. I can't believe these. Why did this thing happen? Why did this sickness have to come? Why did this person have to turn their back on me? Why did this person have to die? All those different things that in our heart, in our lives, that's what we got to look at. What is our attitude towards God? David's attitude at the end of his life was, with the merciful, thou wilt show thyself mercy. And with the upright man, wilt thou show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself unsavory. So first, we want to get to is the first eternal truth. And there's two eternal truths this morning. They're on your papers there if you want to look at them, but we'll get to them as time goes along. This book teaches that God's opportunity is created by the attitude of man towards him. This book, in 2 Samuel, if you're looking at the whole book and you try to understand all the different stories and all the different perspectives, if you go through and you read it in a devotional way and you see this and you pull out this truth, God's opportunity is created by the attitude of man towards him. You know, what do you mean? You mean God is only can help us and bless us when we live right and do what's right? That's the type of person God wants to bless. God wants to bless us. God wants to use us. But we have to have the right attitude towards him. What was David's attitude toward God? Did he get aggravated with God? David sinned. God punished him. Think about all the bad things that happened to him. Bathsheba, Uriah, Absalom, Amnon. And you did not see David pouting. You did not see David blaming God on how things turned out. Your best bet is not to get mad at God. I mean, no matter what happens in this world, no matter what goes wrong and what goes haywire, you know what? What are you going to do? You're going to get mad at the God that can fix it. You're going to get mad at the God that can help you. No, we need to look at ourselves and say, Lord, what is it you want me to teach and learn? I mean, what is it that you want me to learn? What is it that you want to show me through this? God, please show me if there's something in our lives, and that's what we need to examine ourselves and look at ourselves and ask the Holy Spirit of God to search us to see if there's any wicked thing in us so we can learn what he is sending us through. But David, he learns not to pout, not to blame God. He does not get mad at God. And this is what this book teaches us. God's opportunity is created by the attitude of the man toward God. David, still after committing adultery, still is used. He still does great things. Even after killing Uriah, he still does great things. Even after numbering the people, God still uses him. Why? It's because he said, God would never do that for us today. See, I think you're wrong. See, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. David had the right attitude. David humbled himself when sin came. David humbled himself when God chastised. David listened. But us, we're a stubborn and stiff-necked people today. We want to do what we want to do, and we don't want to change. We don't want to believe it's us. We don't want to believe it's we're the fault and we're the problem. We want to just have this attitude. I'm going to do what I want, and I don't care what anybody else says, even God. So think about David's attitude towards God. We saw it in 2 Samuel 22, 26, and 27. David is saying, God is to man. God is to man what that man is to God. God is willing to respond to you. God wants to be close to you. You draw nigh to God, what's he going to do? He's going to draw nigh to you. You are as close to God today as you want to be. I mean, you say, that's just not true. I mean, there are people here, and there's people I would like to even, you know, I don't know all you as well as I'd like to. I mean, I enjoy sitting and talking to you because I'm limited in time and limited in opportunities. Maybe I don't know you as well as I might like to. But with God, that's different. And there are some in the room that might not like me and don't want to get to know me, or you might know somebody and you want to become friends with them, and they say, well, I'm too busy for you. I don't have time. I don't have energy. You know what? God is not like that. God wants to draw near to you. God wants to have that relationship with you. God wants to bless you. God wants to use you. And here it is. It says that God is to man what man is to God. What is your attitude about God? This is why David could do something horrible and get right. Now, did David sin and say, oh, I'm just going to ask God to forgive me later? No, that wasn't David's thoughts. David, when he saw his sin, he was on his face and bowed down and begged God, Lord, forgive me. And he even begged God to take the punishment away, but that didn't happen. Simply put, God is not going to bless someone who does not want his blessings. You say, Pastor, that's goofy. Everybody wants the blessings of God. But do you live your life saying, God bless me? That's what the difference is. David changed after it happened. You go read Psalms 51. Go read Psalms 39. You see the repentant heart that he has. And in fact, his heart is breaking for his sin and that he wants to change. He needs to change. He was a man saying, God, please don't write me off. God, please restore unto me the joy of my salvation. God, please use me again. He was willing to get rid of the sin. He says, that sin is not as important as me being blessed by you. And the person that God's blessed is the person who wants to be blessed. And the person who wants to be blessed doesn't do it with their mouth as much as they do it with their actions. And if there is some type of sin in our life that we just let fester there, we're saying to God, that sin's more important to me than you. And guess what? That's going to stop the blessings of God from coming upon us. I want you to be encouraged with this today. I know you say, Pastor, it's Sunday school. You're already giving us a heart. This is the Bible here. This is the Word of God. This is 2 Samuel. This is the story of 2 Samuel. We see David still used. Somebody was a new Christian, read through here, says, man, God's not fair. He uses David even after he commits adultery. He uses David even after he commits murder. He uses David even after he disobeys him. Once again, aren't we thankful God doesn't tell all our sins out in public too? I mean, that's me. I'm thankful that you guys don't know everything I've ever done before. Because if that was the case, you'd be saying, Pastor, you don't belong up there. You know, that's the same thing with all of us. We're not going to listen. If everybody could see every wicked thought you've ever had, they would think differently about you. But you know what? God is showing you here with David. You have the right attitude. You have a repentant heart. You have a spirit that wants to be blessed. You can get right with God, and God can still use you. What a wonderful testimony. What a wonderful thought. Even though we've messed up before in the past. Now, does that mean that we don't have to be punished for our sin? Does that mean that we're never going to have any problems? David did. David had to answer for his sin. David lost a child. David had one of his kids rebel against him. David had another one of his children that tried to take over the kingdom before Solomon. David, over and over, he was challenged because of his sin. And David wanted to be used towards God. And that was David's attitude. So we see the breakdown here in the chapter 22. We got it broken down into four different parts. And we're not going to read all the verses for the sake of time. But to try to help you understand, you see in verses 1 through 16, He understood that God was the supreme God of the universe. What was David's attitude towards God? God's the supreme God of the universe. That's the first thing we accept. Oh, Pastor, we know all that. Well, how many of us really have our faith in God that way? God, you are supreme. You are in control. Everything is yours. None of this is mine. You created me. You have a purpose for me. You have a will for me. And how many of us really live like that? But see, that's what David got to this point. He saw this and he says, you know what, God? You are supreme. You are it. There is nothing else compared to you. And that's what David says. The supreme God of heaven who makes no mistake. David did not like having the effects of sin happen in his life. But when bad things happened because of the result of sin, David did not go and shake his fist and give up on God. He didn't blame God. And we need to learn that. We need to learn that it's not God's fault that we are in the way we are. It's not God's fault that our nation is the way it is. Now, is it all our faults? No, maybe not. Maybe it's not our fault, but God put us there. You know, was it the fault of the first century Christians that dedicated their lives and then was put and burned and put out there with lions? No, but that was the life that God had chosen to do. And we need to realize God knows exactly where you are. God knows exactly what you're going through. And he is the supreme God of heaven. And he can control everything. And David learns that. If you read verses 1 through 16, it talks about how he is the rock and how he... Once again, we don't have time to go through all those verses there, but if you want to read it sometime with that understanding, he is the supreme God of heaven. What is also David's attitude towards God? David's attitude also, he understood that God is the righteous God of heaven. Because God is righteous, he blesses righteousness in us. He got that. He didn't come to God and say, God, use me, even though despite the sin. God, please, let me just hang on to this one little part. And God, I want you to still use me. They say in verses 26 and 27, it says, with the merciful, thou wilt show up merciful. And with the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. He's saying, if I respond right, God will respond to my attitude towards him. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, wilt thou show thyself unsavory. He understood the righteousness of God. He knew of the righteousness and the holiness of God. And he knew that God couldn't deal with the sin and still bless him. I want you to understand that David got that. He also understood. What was David's attitude towards God? He understood that God was the merciful God of heaven. This is another important key. I think most of us say, okay, God, okay, Pastor, I agree he's the supreme ruler of heaven. Okay, I agree that he is righteous. But here's the next thing is that he's merciful. The way you are at the spot that you are in today, where you are at right now, God is still merciful. Nothing changes that. No matter how much of a hardship you're going through, and I am not minimizing the trials and struggles that you're going through, because I know some of you are experiencing things that seem out of your reach or out of your comprehension. But no matter what happens in this world, God's mercy endure forever, and it's merciful upon merciful. And if we're merciful, the Bible says here, if we are merciful, thou wilt show thyself mercy. All he had been able to accomplish was simply because of God's mercy. You think about it, mercy of God. Think about David's life. The killing of the bear, the lion. Was it because he was some strapping, strong guy and he had the ability to take them on himself? No, it was God. Goliath, God helped him. King Saul, God helped him. You know, how did this boy become from a shepherd boy to the greatest king until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and reigns on the throne of David? How? It's because of the fact he understood that God was merciful. He understood that the judgment he had, the losing of the child. Pastor, that's not right. You're wrong. And you're not telling me I'm wrong. You're telling God he's wrong for what he did. The losing of the child, the rebellion of the son, the other family problems that they had, that God wasn't merciful. David said he knew he was. David understood this. He got this. When he got punished for his sin, and at the end of his life, he says, I know that you're merciful. And it was simply because of the mercy of God. He could not have done what he did without God's mercy. And this is the type of attitude that we need to have. Lord, you're supreme. Lord, you are righteous. Lord, you are merciful. Even though it seems like our world's falling down around us, we can still look to him and say, Lord, it's because your mercy that I'm here. If it wasn't for your mercy, I wouldn't have your Holy Spirit. If it wasn't for your mercy, I wouldn't have your Bible. If it wasn't for your mercy, I wouldn't be able to pray to you. If it wasn't for your mercy, I would have no hope. I would have no peace. If it wasn't for your mercy, I would have no purpose in my life. We realize that everything is our attitude towards God. And what's your attitude towards God today? Some of us, the way we act and the way we respond, we just don't think God's merciful. We think God's merciful to this person or that person. Or we think God's merciful to that group of people. But what about me? That's because we get upset and we have the wrong attitude towards God. But David's attitude here was one of mercy. Next thing I want you to understand, he understood his desire is the will of God. Verses 47 through 51, it talks about this. And it talks about how his desire was to do the will of God. You say, I want to do what I want to do. You ever heard that before? Don't laugh because you've heard it from yourself. You know, from yourself saying that. I know what it says, but I want to do what I want to do. And that's the case because that's a part of our flesh. You say, I want to do what I want to do, but go ahead. But God will not bless it. How do I know what God's will is? Well, there are some things that you just know are God's will. You read the Bible. You be saved. You be in church. Pray. Win souls. Some things are the will of God for every believer. We think of the will of God as a pastor or a missionary, but God has a will for everyone's life. Did you know God has a plan and a purpose for each of your lives? I mean, every single person in here, young, old, can hear, can't hear, can see, can't see, can run a mile, can't even walk a mile, whoever you are, smart enough to read Greek, dumb enough not to be able to understand normal English. I mean, and whoever you are, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. That's just simple. God has a will for you. And he knew God was in complete control, and he yielded to that will. Look what it said about David. This is the testimony of David. The murderer, the adulterer, the one who brought reproach to Israel. And when he had removed him, talking about Saul, he raised up to them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony. He says, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. How could he be? He did this. It's because when God punished him for his sin, he didn't walk away from God. He had the right attitude towards God. He said, Lord, I'm wrong. Help me get back. And look at that last phrase, which shall fulfill all my will. He knew he could bless David because David was going to fulfill his will. And here's the point. He understood his desire is to fulfill the will of God. And that's it. That's what our goal is. That's what our idea is. Is it should be to raise a great family? Yes, we should raise a great family. Is it should be to entertain ourselves? Nothing wrong with having a good time. Should it be this or that? It's whatever the Lord's will is. That's what it should be to do. And we got to remember this and understand that. And that's what David, the testimony was given of the adulterer, the murderer. He was a man after his own heart. Because when God corrected him, he said, okay, God, you're supreme. And when God punished him, okay, God, you're merciful. And when God said, I want you to go do something and run around the desert and the wilderness and hide in caves, he said, okay, God, I want to do your will. It's a tough thing, but in 2 Samuel, that's what you see. You see here his attitude towards God. And then we see how God answers to David's attitude. Think about David's attitude put him in a position where God could bless and use him to accomplish his divine purpose and plan. And is that where we're at? David's attitude, do we have that type of attitude that puts us in a position where God can bless us and use us to accomplish his divine purpose and plan? Now look at how we respond to this. A man who recognizes God's supremacy is a man who God can show himself supremacy. That word probably should be supreme there, but you know, when I write these things, lots of times my grammar isn't the greatest either. So yeah. But a man who recognizes that God is supreme and lives his life like that, you know what God can do? He can show you that he's supreme. But if you don't live a life believing that God is supreme and looking at him like he's supreme and that he is ruler of your life and that he is in control of all things and have faith, you know what happens? He can't show himself strong in your life. He can't show himself as supreme in your life. He has to show you your sin. He has to show you the things that you need to get right with him. And you see, God could call him out of the field and put him on the throne. I mean, could God call us out of the field and put us on some type of throne? Could we have handled Goliath? Some of us like to think, yeah, we're manly. We could handle Goliath. But could we handle Saul throwing a spear at us? could we have handled when Saul tried to kill us over and over and over? You know what we would have been doing? We would have been running away and saying, forget it. And forget it. God, you don't know what you're doing. I don't know why you brought me here. I was happy with those sheep. God, you're crazy. And we get mad and get angry with God and we walk away. But you know what? He knew. God knew that he was going to fulfill his will. God knew that as a young boy, he wrote those Psalms, and in his heart was a heart that believed that God was supreme. And because in his heart, he believed that God was supreme and that God was in control, he says, that's the kid I can take from being a shepherd and bless him and make him the king over Israel, because what's in his heart, what his attitude is about. And we see here, a man who understands God's mercy can handle when God disciplines him. Yeah, none of us like being disciplined. I don't know, maybe some people do. I don't like getting disciplined. I don't like being corrected. It drives me crazy when I'm speaking and I'm not the greatest at English, and my wife corrects me. I like using the word got. Yeah, it got any plans this Sunday or something like that. It says, you know, it's supposed to be have. My wife all the time reminds me, and he says, oh, she's being annoying. No, I ask her, because when I'm speaking out in public, I want to do my best to learn how to speak properly and correctly. But the moment she tells me that, I don't feel that way. The moment she tells me that, I want to repeat the same line and use the word got a little louder. But you know, I got to remember myself. There's a purpose for that. And there's a reason for that. And you know what? When God does this in our lives, and brings things in our lives, he's not just trying to have fun and say, oh, I wonder how he's going to take this. Or, oh, I wonder what he's going to do if I do this to him. Or, that's not God. He loves us. And a person who understands God's mercy, they can handle when God disciplines them. You know, that is a person who will say, I know I'm a sinner. I know I sinned. I know I did wrong. I can go to a person and ask for forgiveness because I wronged them, like the Bible tells us to do. And that type of person, as a sinner, will also see themselves as a person who knows they've done wrong, can take and forgive someone because of what they've done wrong to them too. Also, think about it. A man who understood that he needed to conform to understand God's will. David had to conform so much. He imagined sitting in the palace looking at Saul thinking, I'm going to have his job someday. Can you imagine in that cave, seeing him? He said, no, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. He cut off a part of the robe. Us, we would have said, okay, boys, let's go get him. You know, let's go become the king. He conformed to God's will for his life. And you know who gets to know what God's will is? It is that God that can draw near and show him God's will. You know, we talk about being faithful to church, reading your Bible, praying, winning souls, all things that we know is part of God's will. Pastor, I don't really like hearing you preach four times a week. Pastor, I don't really like praying or reading the Bible. I don't understand it. Pastor, I don't really like talking to people. You know what? David understands, because he is supreme and because he is merciful, I have to conform my fleshly desires into what God's desires is, and then God will show me his will. But most of us would agree that if we're giving somebody direction and we give somebody instruction, and if they don't listen the first time, you're not going to give them another big job, are you? You're going to try to get them to do it right the first time so they can learn in the future. God's given us his will in his book. He will make his... Remember, the Bible is the one that makes our light, our pathway. How can we know it if we don't read it? Okay, and last but not least, does this mean God condone David's sin? No. 1,000 times no. 1,000 times no. Because of the fact that God still punished his sin. God used him, yes. Why did God use him? Because he had the right attitude. Think about the second permanent value. It's similar to the first. And it's man's opportunity is created by the attitude of God towards it. You go to chapter 20, number 23. You see how God responds to David's attitude. Chapter 23, verses 1 through 3, it talks about what was God's attitude towards David. He raised him up on high. He was the sweet psalmist of Israel. Verse number 2 talks about the secret of David's power was that it came from God. And when God saw in David what he saw, then God could bless him. God gave him his word. God established his kingship. God gave him, with God's everlasting persistence, it was an everlasting covenant. This was God's response to him. Because I saw on that hill something I could bless, I brought you up. Does that mean that he is now, does not ever have to answer to sin? No, God says, yes, if you sin, you're going to get punished. But that's something he can't bless. Okay, we'll let those that got ministries leave and we'll finish up here real quick. So we see God's response. We see God's response to David's attitude. This response was one that he used him to do the will of God. God knew that he was going to fulfill his will. And that's why God could use him. And then we see here, last thing. What is the living value for today? What is it? You know, we always have permanent value, which means truths that never change that we learn from the book. What is our living value today? It's pretty simple. Have the right attitude to support towards God and towards his discipline. How's your attitude today? I mean, it's just, you know, then people say, you know, attitude determines your altitude. And I know some of that sounds a little corny. I know there's some things like that. God, you know, but yes, what is your attitude towards God? What is your attitude towards today? Do you look at him as supreme? Do you look at him as righteous? Do you look at him as merciful? Do you look at him that he controls your will and should control your will? I want you to understand here, the Bible tells us, you know, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You might say, you know what? David should have been kicked off the throne. He should not have been able to keep on serving. They should have worded out the fact that said the man after God's own heart should have been whited out of all the Bible. No, it was repeated over and over. Why is that? Because he had the right attitude. Did he mess up? Yes. Are we all going to mess up? Yes. Are we thankful God doesn't tell everybody about all our problems? Yes. But do we get right like David did? Or do we try to hold on to our, you know, we talk about sin, but that could be anger. It could be unforgiveness. It could be stubbornness. I mean, it doesn't have to be out there committing adultery or killing somebody. We're talking about it could be just simply submitting to God's will. Say, where do you see this in the Bible? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. I put that up there for this. That word loveth. God loves you. And I know you're not going to hear, when you go to TV and you hear that, you're not going to hear God loves you. That's why he disciplines you very often. That's why you have problems. They're going to tell you, God loves you, go do whatever you want. That's not what we saw in 2 Samuel. David couldn't do whatever he wanted, even though he was the man after God's own heart, even though he was the man who said he was going to fulfill his will, even though he was the one that God could say, on that hillside, I can bless that boy. I'm going to use that boy. And then he trained him, and then he uses him. Let me encourage you. In 2 Samuel, we see the attitude of David. Go back and read through it and see that David does not get angry with God, does not give up on God when he is confronted with his sins. He falls right on his face and says, God, you are right. I am wrong. I am a sinner, and I want to be right with you. What do I have to do to be right? And when discipline comes, he doesn't get angry and mad. He accepts it and says, okay, Lord, you are just and you are holy. I'll take what you give me. Let's go ahead and pray.